Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome to the Life Tips Show, everyone. Byron White here, your host. I'm here with Harvey Deutschendorf. Harvey, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be on your show.
Thanks for being here. Let's see. You're the author of The Other Kind of Smart, which is diving into the wonderful emotional intelligence part of the intellect of our brain. Can you tell us a little bit about emotional intelligence and your great book?
Well, emotional intelligence is our ability to recognize, understand, and to manage our own emotions and the emotions of others around us. And my book was basically written as a way for everybody to get a quick overview of emotional intelligence, to learn what it is, to see what it looks like in real life. There's stories of people that they will probably recognize in there. Themselves or brother, neighbor, whatever, and people using emotional intelligence or people not using it well. And then at the end of every story, explaining a different aspect of it, there's tips that people can use to increase their emotional intelligence in those areas if they recognize that this is something that they could use some help in. And there's even a little quiz at the back of the book that they can check out their own emotional intelligence. So it's a fun, easy-to-use book that people can use just to get into it right away, to start using it in everyday life.
Terrific. Now, before we get into the book and what people are going to learn from it, I want to just ask you a little bit about emotional intelligence itself. Are you a believer that there are different types of intelligence, if you will? And if so, what are the other types of intelligence, and how does emotional intelligence balance with that overall capacity to understand and to think?
Well, there's the cognitive intelligence, the IQ that we all know about, and that's our ability to reason and to take concrete ideas and thoughts and put them together. There's another aspect of called social intelligence, which is actually, I think, just sort of a version of emotional intelligence, our ability to, get along with others, to make connections with others. The emotional intelligence is with IQ, it's a very powerful combination. If we have a high IQ and we have a good emotional intelligence, we're very well set up for life. But there's a lot of people that have high IQs that we know that don't have emotional intelligence, and we know those people from high school, from our and that really struggle in life. Yet there's people that didn't do so well in school, aren't necessarily have high IQs, that are doing very well because they have the emotional intelligence. So it's a very important aspect for us to be successful.
When you look at successful people, you mentioned they tend to have an ability to have both cognitive and emotional, and my guess is maybe even social intelligence. Have you done some surveys and really concluded that A, it's rare to have it all, and B, well, there tends to be gaps in most humans as they're configured, if you will, if that's a word I could use.
Well, the research that has been done out there on the connection between IQ, for example, and emotional intelligence is that there is no real connection. So somebody with a really high IQ may have high emotional intelligence, or they could have low emotional intelligence too. So as IQ goes up, emotional intelligence doesn't necessarily. So it seems to be kind of a situation that is random. I mean, again, if IQ is important, but if it's coupled with emotional intelligence, that means that we can really take advantage of the high IQ. But if it's not, we can have a high IQ, and if we're unable to get along with people, for it, we're really won't be able to take advantage of our IQ. Mm.
Can you test emotional intelligence?
There are some tests out there that can test emotional intelligence. There is a little quiz again at the back of the other kind of smart. It's not a serious quiz. I tell people it's just for people to get to check out your emotional intelligence, to get a flair for. But there are some official tests out there. Yes, there are a number about three or four that have been developed. The one that I've been certified to do is called the Baron EQI, and it's the first official test of emotional intelligence. And it's been approved by the American Psychological Association. So that is one of the official tests. There are two or three others that have been developed over time and are recognized as being valid tests.
What are some of the signs of a someone that's lacking emotional intelligence?
Well, some of the signs would be somebody that makes inappropriate remarks, somebody that is rude, insensitive to others, sort of lacking social skills, lacking what you call social graces, somebody that doesn't has the inability to make friends, somebody who can't sort of speaks impulsively without thinking things through, acts impulsively. We can think of people who, Ted Bundy and Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, are two people with very high IQs who just didn't really fit into society. And we've all known people like that, that are very awkward. They're awkward socially, very bright people, but IQ-wise, but just are lacking social skills, lacking sort of the self-control, the self-knowledge, which is what emotional intelligence is all about.
Do you tend to be able to pick up on these problems at a young age and be in a position to affect these problems or to offset these problems at a younger age, if you can catch these problems?
It's really interesting. So emotional intelligence is quite new, but it's actually being coming into the school systems. And the British British school system is actually implemented a program in their school system. It's called the Social Emotional Aspects of Learning, and it starts in their earlier grades. And because they're having a problem with bullying, what they're trying to get kids to do at an early age is try to recognize how they're feeling, manage their feelings, try to teach them to get along with other children. So hopefully, it's going to be coming into our school system at an early age in the near future, because I see it happening, and it's really, really needed at an early age, because kids really need to know to how to get along with each other. That's a very important skill that we're not being taught now in schools.
You've been an author, a coach, and a speaker on this topic for at least 10 years, maybe more now. Do you think there's any connection between processed foods and dyes and, the increasing diagnosis of ADD and ADHD to food and nutrition and health and chemicals, to how the brain is developing?
Interesting question. I've never been asked that from that perspective. It's quite possible that, if we're eating unhealthy foods, they may have some effect on our brain, and it'll of course have a negative effect on our emotions. Our emotions are affected by our health, and of course so is our development of our brain. And the better we feel physically, the better we're going to feel emotionally as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does this tie in with anger management and the whole wave that we're seeing now, with anger management being a term used with a lot of people that are in high-stress jobs or high stress points in their life, going through a divorce or other things, and an uncontrollable outburst of anger. Is that all tied into emotional intelligence?
Yes. Well, it is. It is to an extent. We see a lot of incidents of road rage. I had a Google alert up on road rage, and every day I would get situations where people were actually shot, were killed, and things, and in road rage every single day. And what we can do is we can learn to control our emotions by a number of ways. So if we're starting to go out of control, what I was doing a few months ago, I was driving along in the right-hand lane, okay? Somebody all of a sudden pulled right in front of me. Of course, right away I got upset. So my first impulse was, okay, one hand I'm going to give him the horn and the other hand the finger. But what I started to do, and that only takes a split second, okay? But what I was thinking, this jerk here doesn't care about us. He doesn't care, how many lives he endangers or whatever, the fact that he's going to slow down a whole lane of traffic. He's probably just decided at the last minute he's going to turn right. Okay, so those thoughts went through my mind in a split second. But anyways, before I acted on those thoughts, I started automatically counting to 10, 1,000, 2,000. And while I started counting, it only took a split second for me to cool off enough so I wasn't going to do what I originally intended to. And, uh-huh. Because our minds can only hold one thought at a time. And if we take away, get away from that thought of doing something impulsively, uh-huh. we're not going to do it. And while I was doing that, I would start to think, I wonder if he's going to really, really turn. I just became more curious than angry. And then all of a sudden I heard there was a siren coming down the middle lane. Actually, he was getting out of the way of an ambulance. And can you imagine how I would have felt if I had acted on my first impulse? Mm-hmm. But that's a way we can control if we have problems with outbursts, with not being able to control anger. Find a way when we're feeling that impulse to momentarily distract ourselves from it. Whatever works for you, counting to 10, if you have elastic on your wrist, pull it. Anything that distracts you momentarily, you won't do it. Now, that won't solve the underlying problem of anger, but it can keep us from making our situations worse while we can go and get some help working on that anger. Emotional intelligence helps us manage better in everyday life and live better. But if we have some underlying issues that's causing us anger, we need to go and get some professional help with it in some ways of dealing with that.
I'm going to ask you after we come back from the break a really important question of something I learned, and that is the power of actually swearing and whether it can help calm your mind and actually put ease. Let's take a break, everybody. Right back in just a second.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
2, 1, boost to ignition.
Ascend into new heights of ranking and revenue with a search engine friendly online shopping cart that's ready for liftoff. Introducing Ascender Cart. Ascender Cart optimizes your shopping cart with easy-to-use SEO tools that will help build keywords, titles, and tags for top search engine rankings. Get all of the advantages of having a shopping cart on your site and monitor your progress with regular reports in just a click. Prepare to launch your shopping cart to the top of the search engines with Ascender Cart. Learn more about what Ascender Cart can do for you at AscenderCart.com. AscenderCart.com.
Our clients have earned over $1 billion. Now it's your turn. With over 20,000 products to promote across a huge variety of niches, ClickBank provides countless ways for any affiliate to make money. You can promote any product immediately. No contracts required. Looking for recurring commissions? Upsell products? ClickBank's got them. And best of all, you can make up to 75% commissions. Ready to become the next ClickBank success story? Sign up now for free at ClickBank.com.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart, or you've read their SEO code of ethics, so you know they're SEO experts. But did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today at BruceClay.com.
LPO, Landing Page Optimization, Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the advertising channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Back with Harvey. Harvey, welcome back.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
So, swearing. It's an interesting concept, but I believe I was reading perhaps an Inc. magazine. I'm not sure where I read this article, but it talked about relieving stress and how swearing might force the brain to actually, after you, of course, make the public swear, to then somehow be relieved or release tension. Is that possible?
It can relieve tension, yes, when we swear. As long as we're not swearing at somebody, if we're just swearing at a situation and it's not a situation where it's totally going to be embarrassing to us, and it's a situation where swearing, you know, is accepted, it can relieve some stress. Being able to immediately vent, it'll relieve some of our frustration right away. So it does give us an opportunity to cool down a little bit. Yeah, we'll feel better after.
But isn't there a bigger problem possibly related to emotional intelligence, namely the public swearing and thinking that that's okay and, you know, flaunting the emotional muscle, if you will, in your body that, is this perhaps a symptom and not a cure of stress?
Well, it can be if it's inappropriate, and if it's used to excess. Actually, if it's inappropriate, it's funny because I was we noticed it when it's totally inappropriate. I was just talking to somebody the other day about the On Golden Pond, and he said he loved the movie. It's a classic, but he didn't know why there had to be so much swearing in it. Okay, it was a situation where, I mean, if it's a very, very stressful situation, if it's a situation, a wartime, whatever, you expect that kind of need to vent, that need to express yourself as forcefully as you're able to. And sometimes there's no more. Swearing is the best way to do it. There's no more forceful way to do that. That's appropriate. But swearing in situations where it's totally not appropriate, where people don't do it, is something that somebody who does that all the time needs to do some work on that and find a better way to express themselves.
Can you imagine any line of business that would benefit from EI screening or testing?
Oh, there's probably every business out there would benefit from some EI screening or testing. Or
how would that work? Would there be a physical test? You mentioned some tests that were being used, but you know, how can you actually screen for emotional intelligence? And when you discover high levels of EI, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I could give you an example of an organization that actually used it and used it quite effectively. It's actually the U.S. Air Force. A number of years ago, they were looking for, they're having a problem keeping recruiters. And, of course, they were hiring from other branches of the military, and they had lots of tools, lots of sort of aptitude tests and that, but the problem was that a year later they found they were losing 50% of these recruiters, so they didn't know what to do, and it was costing a lot of money. It cost $30,000 to train a recruiter. So they called somebody who was did emotional intelligence testing and asked them to look into this. And what he did was he took the people who were making, in recruiters, it was very easy to see who was successful and who wasn't because they had quotas. And the ones that were successful were making their quotas or exceeding, tested them, found out that they were high in a couple of areas, independence, also high in empathy, which meant that they could understand, they were able to read people quite well and you know, knew when somebody had potential or somebody was just wasting their time, was a tire kicker. Also, there are people who had to work very independently. They had to travel around the country. They had to spend time alone, and people who could handle that. And they also found the top recruiters were spending more time on the golf course. So they weren't working harder, but they were working more effectively, working smarter, in other words. So what they did was the people that they were interviewing, they administered the test to, the bar on EQI, and after they did a few other things too in the interview, but they hired on the basis of people that were high in the areas of empathy and independence. A year later, they kept 83% of the recruiters, just based on that that difference of doing the looking for people with a certain level of emotional intelligence. So it was very effective, and the Air Force continues to use that. They're now hiring people that are parachute rescue people, and these are people that it costs like $300,000 to train because they have to apparently be pilots and everything. They have to fly into remote areas, and they have to rescue people that are down. So because it costs that much money to train a lot of these people, they're using emotional intelligence testing to make sure that they get the people that have the right types of attributes that they're going to stay with the job.
You'd be an interesting person to do a walkthrough analysis of a company. When you meet people, can you perceive what their EI is? I mean, do you have that ability to judge someone's emotional intelligence after talking with them or meeting them? Do you have a sense for that?
I have a pretty good sense about people. I always have sort of had that, I guess, innate ability to really. Some people it's more difficult than others. Some people you have to spend some time with them, around them, and see them, you know, in groups of people interacting and things. But there are other people that you get a very, very strong sense right away that these are very very emotional, intelligent people, have good relationship skills, and other people, you can right away tell that you know, there's some awkwardness there. There's going to be some gaps.
What would you guess that my EQI score would be?
Well, I think yours would be fairly high. I haven't because I haven't seen you. I've only spoken to you over the phone.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Yeah. You are in fact.
Thank you. I can only tell by looking at you and sort of seeing your facial reactions and body gestures and things. Yeah, yeah.
I like it. Thanks for the vote of good faith. You are in fact certified to administer the what's called the bar on EQI. Tell us how you got that certification and what you're able to do as a result of that.
Well, I'm able to. The bar on EQI is really the first. It's the first really official test of emotional intelligence. It's still the one that's most widely used today and mainly in business. And I had to take some certification training, and part of that training was to be able to administer the test, how to answer questions when people are taking the test, and giving feedback on the test to people, because it's important to understand where people are coming from, to be able to answer questions. There have been in the past people that have offer this test online, but it's not a good way to take it. It's the only way to really do this test is to sit down with somebody and give them the results sort of one-on-one.
And so ask the questions one-on-one. Tell me how the actual test works. You would sit with me one-on-one and go through a series of questions?
Yeah. Well, I would sit with you, and I would give you a set of questions, which would be there's 133 questions, and you would answer either always true of me or never true of me at the other end of the extreme, just different types of questions. And sometimes you would find doing the test, it's the same question that's asked sort of in a different way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And are you left with a score in the end of the day, or are you left with an actual physical score?
Yes, you're left with a overall. Well, you're left with a. It's quite an extensive test. It's about the one that I've done most of it is about 12 pages. You're left with an overall score, and then there are really 15 areas that it scores you in. It gives you an overall score. And the average out there, the only thing the same with the bar on EQI and IQ is that the average is 100. So it'll give you an overall score. It will score you and give you a score in all the 15 areas. And then there are five major sub-areas in those 15 areas. Give you a score in that. And it would point out the high areas to you. And it also give you advice, give you some feedback on areas that you could use some help on, that's some improvement on, tell you certain things that you could do to increase in those areas.
Could it be administered with a multiple choice questionnaire and online and give someone some feedback on where they stand and how they might be able to improve their EI?
It could be done online. I suppose the ideal way, of course, is to sit down with somebody. What you're missing when you're giving feedback would be seeing the person, seeing their reaction. You're getting lots of additional information when you're sitting facing somebody than when you cannot see the person. I suppose you might be able to do it on.
How are you taking what you're seeing and putting that into the results of the exam?
Well, what I'm doing, if I'm giving feedback to somebody and I'm seeing a look, you know, that they look confused, do they look worried or, you know, look upset or, you know, I can take that in and check it out with them. How they feel about the results, you look shocked or whatever, whereas when I can't see you and I have to do it online, I'm not able to get as good a read on what your take is on the results of it. Yeah.
But is the answer is each answer always always or never true? So it's do you have to? That's what you, as the person administering this, have to make a decision on.
Well,
so if somebody says, like, sometimes do throw a rock across the room and I'm mad.
No. You would have to decide that as a person taking the test.
I see.
How to answer? Yes. Yeah. And basically, it's you know, don't think about it too much. Whatever comes up for you, you could overthink the answer and think yourself out of what the answer that you really would like to put down. So.
You're also a member of the Human Capital Institute. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's an organization that has workshops, and they have teleseminars and online as well. You can become a member, and they have all kinds of different seminars to do with relations in the workplace. You can sign up and take in these teleseminars, and they're excellent. And they're always putting out new ones. They actually have a conference every year, although I haven't been to their conference yet, but it's something that I plan to take in the future. Great organization.
Who are members of the Human Capital Institute? Human resource professionals, psychiatrists, psychologists?
Human resource professionals. There are a lot of executives for companies that belong you know, there's always ideas. A lot of the ideas are around, you know, styles of management, ways to manage people, you know, that type of thing. So there's a lot of it's a networking organization as well. It is, it is a information sharing as well. It's very good for that as well.
And one more organization, Toastmasters. I've heard great things about Toastmasters. Could you tell us a little bit about your experience there?
Toastmasters is a great organization. I go once a week, and not only to learn to speak and to be confident getting up in front of a group of people and being able to speak and being able to think on your feet when you're speaking gives a lot of practice, but it's also a great social interaction that goes on at Toastmasters, you know, learning to deal with all kinds of different people in the club, and I found it a great organization for actually boosting emotional intelligence. You learn about different people in the club. You learn, you know, about their emotional makeup. You learn about yourself, how you react to different situations. So it's a just a great organization. I look forward to going to the meetings every single week. And
Gotcha. Sounds really cool. Well, as we wrap up here, you have so much knowledge about boosting emotional intelligence. Do you have any tips and advice for us on how to find a boost in your emotional intelligence?
Well, actually, just the one thing, I mean, basically, if we boost our happiness, if we can be, you know, happier, then our emotional intelligence just come up. And it's actually found that people that are positive can increase their productivity 31%, and then if they're negative, and salespeople can actually sell 37% more. They've even found that doctors, when they're in the positive state, they can diagnose 19% more accurately. So, but there's things we can do to be positive. Is every day practice gratefulness, like every morning or evening for at least 21 days, write down three different things you can be grateful for. Make them three different things every day. We'll get us into this. We'll start our day getting into a positive space, looking at the positive side. We'll find that the day goes better when we're thinking positively. And the other thing is to be social. Any situation that we can, we have a try to develop a social network, whether at work, whether we're at home or wherever. If we're retired, not working, you know, get out there, volunteer, do whatever. But get some sort of a social network going that supports you. Praise others if you're able to, you know, find somebody that's doing something well. Make it sincere, but make a habit of praising others. Look for things that people are doing that you like, and you know, even at work, send them a quick email or just tell them. That really makes people's day, and it makes people that are saying it makes your day as well. So a lot of things. Setting small goals. If you're looking at a big task, that's pretty daunting. Break it down into little things. When we're doing little things and we're successful and get something done, we're able to chip away at those big jobs much easier than if we just look at it and become frozen. And by doing little things, we'll feel better about ourselves. We'll be able to get a lot more done.
We, on that very subject, I'm going to tease the audience before we sign off about a task list, an electronic task list that we've been working on for a couple of years now. I read a book some time ago called Bit Literacy, great book, and it talked about the stress and the pressure of every day and how you know, in your normal job, you've got, you know, 2,700 tasks that you're supposed to complete, and it seems overwhelming. And the concept was to find greater reward each day by parsing off only a few tasks that you wanted to create. And then actually, as you get those done, cross them off so you can feel momentum, like you've had a positive reward. So we built some technology around this. But it occurs to me that Life Tips should not only offer this technology free, which we're going to do for everybody that wants to, you know, put tasks up and manage their life better and run a task list, maybe a personal task list at a work or even a work version that we use here in our office. But it occurs to me that some of these little nuggets, like, you know, doing three different grateful things, or, you know, write down the three grateful things that you're every day. I mean, that would be a wonderful thing for people to do. Can we talk with you about that and some other ideas you might have, Harvey?
Well, sure.
Because we want to, our mission here, as you'll hear in a second, is to make life better. We've really enjoyed having you on the show, and I think you've helped us, get a better grip on emotional intelligence. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thanks a lot. I've enjoyed being on. It's been great.
Well, thanks again, and until next week. And by the way, Harvey, who do you want to get a hold of you regarding any questions or speaking opportunities people may have? They're listening in, and how should they get a hold of you?
Well, they can get a hold of me by through my website, and they can also my book is available through the website with there's a link there to Amazon.com, but also they can email me through my website, which is www.theotherkindofsmart.com, or my email, which is Harvey, Harvey, small case. Period, EIGUY at Shaw, SHAW dot CA. Or I have a phone number too, 780-757-5949.
Terrific. Really appreciate you being on the show. Your show will be available on iTunes as well, so people can listen in, and we'll also get a recording for you as well. Harvey, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you.
Right on. Until next week, everyone, I hope your life's a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Thanks for listening to the Life Tips Show. We'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone.